Welcome, everybody. This is Coach Bonnie Kissinger with PSR Fit, and we have a really special podcast section for you. We are talking with Dr. Marshall Porter Field. He is a super smart, awesome person, and we're going to be talking about magnesium for the average person and also for endurance athletes, why it's really important. We're going to kind of focus on the nut and shell of it and give you some basic information to help equip you on understanding it and how to incorporate it into your training. So I am super happy that you're here, Marshall. And if you would, could you introduce, maybe give me a quick rundown on who you are and what you're passionate about?
Hi, Bonnie. Thanks a lot for allowing me to participate in this podcast today. I think that people listening to this would be interested in knowing that I'm coming at this from two angles. One is I am an endurance athlete. I've participated in Ironman and triathlon events. Now I'm more focused on ultra running at the 100-mile distance. That's really what I've been training for and focused on in the last 2 to 3 years. But also come to this with the background. So not only am I interested in nutrition and performance and endurance from that perspective, I also take a look at it in terms of at the cellular, molecular, and biochemical level. I have a PhD. I'm a professor at Purdue University, and I'm currently on leave now from Purdue at NASA, where I'm in charge of the space flight and physical sciences research program, and that also includes the human research programs that are ongoing on the ISS. So I am interested in a lot of different aspects of health and nutrition and well-being and performance from all those perspectives.
That's awesome. I really appreciate your time, and I know that the folks listening to this will get some good information to help them move forward with their training and just help supplement what they're doing. So if you would, could you give me some broad strokes of, the role of magnesium in the human body, kind of what it does?
So before I get to that aspect, that perspective, I think it's really important for people to understand how important magnesium is even for life on Earth. Life as we know it on Earth would not exist without magnesium. Chlorophyll molecule, which is the foundation of the ecosystem on the planet and the evolution of life as we know it on this planet, actually the heart of a chlorophyll molecule, if you imagine this chlorophyll molecule is like a dish antenna, and at the very center of that dish antenna, the main player is a magnesium ion, and it's sitting there in order to transfer that light energy from the chlorophyll molecule itself through the magnesium ion, which is acting like basically an electron transporter. So it's an electrical, bioelectric process that is mediated by the magnesium ion itself. Now you switch over to the become more human-centric and human focus in terms of the role of magnesium. Magnesium is known to be involved with bioelectric activities of enzymes of over 300 different reactions that are very distinct. So a lot of enzymes that require electron transfer, so enzymes are proteins in our bodies that do chemical reactions, and a lot of those chemical reactions require bioelectric activity, and so the magnesium ions are there to mediate that bioelectric activity. So if you start to focus in on the essential central core of metabolism in the human body and biochemical processes that are really important, the molecule ATP comes to play. It's in the same triphosphate. So in the triphosphate form, it's carrying energy, and it can transfer that energy to other proteins and other biomolecules in our body to do reactions. And then it gets converted back into adenosine diphosphate, so the phosphate comes off. The adenosine diphosphate is recycled by the mitochondria. That's all the mitochondria really does. It produces ATP, and it's using the mitochondria in our cells, and our muscle cells are using they're producing ATP using carbohydrates, amino acids, and fats, burning those molecules, essentially burning them to produce CO2 and also adenosine triphosphate. One of the interesting things about ATP in our bodies is that we only have about 3 ounces of adenosine triphosphate in our bodies at any one time. So it's constantly recycled. It's being produced by the mitochondria, transferring energy to biochemical reactions, and then being recycled by the mitochondria. And ATP levels are really precarious in endurance sports because even though we only have about 3 ounces in our body at one time, we can use up to 30 pounds of ATP during an hour of activity. So the ATP has to be recycled by the mitochondria. Now, if you zero in on the mitochondria and its ability to produce ATP, it is dependent upon enzymes in the mitochondria where magnesium is essential. Magnesium is essential in that reaction in the mitochondria that produces ATP. The final step that produces ATP. ATP is used by almost every chemical reaction in our body, but anything that requires energy, like muscle contraction, requires ATP. So if you're magnesium deficient and your ability to produce ATP by the mitochondria is being inhibited, and that's one of the symptoms that, that have come out through the literature, is that VO2 max is decreased associated with magnesium deficiency. The other interesting thing about ATP being produced requires magnesium. If you go look at the muscle cells themselves and the muscle fibers and the myosin actin, these motors that are in the muscle cells, where they actually burn ATP, that reaction requires magnesium too. So if you're magnesium deficient, you're inhibiting your ability to produce ATP in the mitochondria or for the muscle cells themselves to use it. So it's a kind of a double whammy. And that's just a broad level look at ATP, the relationship between ATP and magnesium. Most chemical reactions in our body require ATP. Neurophysiology, for neurons to fire, requires ATP. For our intestinal tract to take up nutrients in our gut, it requires ATP. But every cell in our body requires ATP, which requires magnesium.
That's crazy awesome, maybe a little overwhelming for some. So we're just talking about, we could just generally say, for energy to do things, to blink, to move things around in the body, whatever, you need magnesium in order to enable your body to make energy.
In order to burn fuel, carbohydrates, fats, and produce energy, you require ATP. But then for the muscle cells to actually use that energy to contract, to run, to swim, to bike, that also requires magnesium on its own too. So it's like I said, it's the double whammy in terms of athletic performance.
Right. I don't want to get into a lot of, kind of the magnesium deficient issues that pop up for the human being. I do want to touch on them a little bit, though. So, we're talking about leg cramps, so we kind of can understand that. And one of the other things is maybe muscle pain, fibromyalgia. New research is showing that low magnesium plays a role in this. But can you, and they say fatigue. What about the other things that they're talking about as far as low magnesium correlating this into, on the list is insomnia, high blood pressure, anxiety. How does that kind of fit into, can you address that as far as with the human and being low in magnesium?
Well, what I was making reference to before is the fact that, when we think of energy production for athletic performance and muscle contraction, that's requiring ATP, which requires magnesium. But if you look at the activity of a neuron, a nerve cell in your brain to fire a signal to transmit bioelectric activity, that requires ATP also. That's energetically a sink in terms of our overall physiology. So anytime you're inhibiting magnesium deficiency, which could lead to restrictions in ATP levels in the cells, you're going to inhibit, you're going to hurt the cell activity of those cells. But, you know, there are there are 300 different enzymes in the human body that require magnesium. So outside of just the two that I mentioned, which is ATP production and muscle contraction, there's a plethora of different enzymes that are very specific to different types of physiological activities. So if you think of, you know, a cross-correlation would be cardiovascular health. Cardiovascular activity may be diminished by limitations in magnesium. Magnesium is also tied to calcium very closely. So bone health and bone rigidity is responsive to magnesium levels because of its relationship with calcium.
And, you know, heart health, calcium and magnesium go hand in hand as far as, you know, how your heart's working and et cetera.
Yeah, and also another interesting thing about magnesium and anaerobic respiration. So when you go anaerobic, you run really fast. Your oxygen is not being delivered to your muscles, and you produce lactate. Lactate clearance from your muscles is actually magnesium deficient. I mean, magnesium dependent also. So if your VO2 max is being inhibited by low magnesium, and you're driving yourself and you go into a state where you have to produce lactic acid in order to produce ATP, enough energy for your muscles, the clearance of that lactic acid is also dependent upon magnesium too. Now you've got a triple whammy working against you in terms of...
You know, that's like really super interesting that you say that, because, you know, we'll get to this in a little bit, but, you know, we're in the hot season now and you're losing more magnesium anyway. But, you know, say you're the endurance athlete, that you're doing the heart rate training and that you know where your lactic threshold is, and you go out to a race, but maybe for, you know, you're kind of getting lower on the magnesium scale. Are we saying that your lactic threshold might actually be momentarily, a long moment, like a day, week, reduced because of the lack of magnesium? So you thought you knew what your lactic threshold was, but maybe it's, you don't actually have that. Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly the case. So if you're already predisposed to be magnesium deficient, and you go out and you're in an event where you're sweating and you're losing magnesium, you're diminishing your lactate threshold because of the magnesium issue.
Very interesting, very interesting. I had an experience in a race myself, and it was just I got stumped on what happened with my body, because I know all this stuff and I eat well and I'm doing the magnesium, but, you know, it's interesting, 2 weeks before we were really concentrating on heat acclimation, so I'd been running more in the heat. And so maybe let's transition into talking about, you know, how we're losing our magnesium. So I was heat training, and maybe I just wasn't taking in enough magnesium to counteract that. And then I have this episode in this race where, you know, all four of the wheels popped off. You know, I had done the training, but, you know, it was kind of a mystery on why the wheels popped off, but now it all kind of makes sense. So,
So the recommended daily allowance for magnesium is somewhere between 300-350 for women and 400-450 somewhere. I think those numbers are close. They may not be exactly correct, but for men, 400-450. But the research is coming through the literature now suggesting that for endurance athletes, magnesium RDA levels should be higher. Now, especially if you've been doing quote-unquote heat training, sweating out magnesium, you may not be replenishing enough. So you may have gone into that race magnesium deficient and then sweat out more magnesium and then suffered the consequences of that. And I'm not familiar with any sports drinks that replenish magnesium, so I'm not going to get it on the run. You have to be careful about supplementing magnesium too, and we can talk about that later.
Yeah, absolutely. I just find that completely fascinating because, I've been doing this a while, and this is kind of the first year that I've really had to hone in on that. And considering that how vital it is, I hope that we can, that more athletes take this into account. So, sweet. So moving more towards, for the average bear, for the average human being, what are some signs of being mag deficient?
That's interesting because I think as the medical profession, medical researchers have started to pay more attention to this issue, the data that I'm seeing suggests that there could be magnesium deficiency across the general population as high as up to 70%. The reason for that is because people tend to eat more processed food and processed carbohydrates in their diet, and they're just not getting dietary sources of magnesium that we would naturally get. Some of the symptoms associated with chronic fatigue sound to me like they could be associated with magnesium. Lethargy, mental cloudiness. It's one of the, magnesium, because it's so central in central metabolism, the core foundation of cellular metabolism is magnesium deficient in a really profound way, but then you have these 300 other enzymes and processes that are specific to physiology of our body. It means you can have a lot of different types of symptoms because of one issue, and the term that's used is pleiotropic. So one starting point in terms of a deficiency in our health can affect a lot, can create a lot of different types of symptoms. Muscle cramps, weakness, lethargy, vision issues, heart physiology, blood pressure, bone health, all of these things are that are areas where you potentially can have impacts associated with magnesium, and that's across the population. And again, it's only amplified in the endurance athletes, where we may have a higher RDA for magnesium over the general population.
Correct. And then again, emphasizing heat training in summertime, you're sweating more, you're losing more magnesium, so even more of an issue.
Yes, definitely.
That's good stuff. Very interesting. Very interesting. You bring chronic fatigue into that, and I played soccer since I was 5 up through going into college, and I was diagnosed with chronic fatigue. So it's kind of interesting that your nutritional status is paramount, and how do you go and find that nutritional status? This is kind of a rabbit hole I'm falling down, but for the young athletes, we're in the heat. Are we supplementing the body well enough with, the salt needed for, all this heat stuff, the football players, the soccer players, everybody outside in the heat, and, magnesium, and it kind of causes me some concern for the young athletes. And, I remember my experience with nutrition, the foods rich in magnesium, the dark, greasy leans and nuts and seeds. I wasn't eating that stuff, and I certainly wasn't taking a magnesium pill, and you couldn't get me to eat any fish. So, kind of a, we need to be educating people on here's where you get your magnesium, and, this is what you need to be doing when it's hot. And, let's focus on nutritional status first before we diagnose them with chronic fatigue when maybe all you have needed was just a magnesium pill. So, what's your take on trying to get magnesium? Let's focus on the endurance athlete now. What's your take on trying to get enough magnesium from your food? And I can run down the top 10 magnesium-rich foods versus supplementing. What's your take on that?
Yeah, at the top of the list are things like nuts. Pumpkin seeds are at the top of the list. And then you get into the greens and spinach and kale, and then meat is fairly low in magnesium. It's not a very good dietary source of magnesium. So, if you look at those options in terms of our nutrition, and by magnesium, I think it's rated in milligrams per gram of seeds or whatever. And you could turn that list around, so you could do milligrams of magnesium per calories too. And you might want to rearrange that list in the context of that, because I think you still have to eat a lot of nuts. And if you're trying to control your caloric intake, a lot of nuts are obviously, they're good for you on one level, but you can't overload on nuts in terms of the calories you're taking in. But for me, I think that green leafy vegetables are the best thing. And again, I was talking before about how magnesium is the core, the heart of a chlorophyll molecule. Chlorophyll is why plants are green. You should be eating lots of greens, I think, there's a lot of other health benefits, the fiber, magnesium, the potassium, all the bioactive sources of other minerals, copper, zinc, chromium, those sorts of things that we get from our fresh vegetables are really important too. In terms of supplementing with salt versions, or I think one of the reasons we don't see magnesium in our sports drinks is because typically over-the-counter dietary supplements for magnesium are magnesium oxide. And the problem with magnesium oxide is that it can cause diarrhea. And no one wants to have diarrhea when they're in the middle of an endurance event.
Right.
At least nobody I know. That's an issue in terms of how you supplement. Magnesium oxide is probably it's one of the most common pills, but it has that side effect. That's why they make milk of magnesia. It's magnesium oxide. It's a laxative. Other forms of magnesium that are available over the counter, there's a product called Calm, I think, that is magnesium citrate. And there are other forms of magnesium where basically the magnesium is coupled with an organic molecule like citrate or tartarate or some amino acids to form kind of a salt with the magnesium. And that tends to be taken up better, and it has less side effects in terms of the laxative effect. But it still will have, even magnesium citrate will have, at high doses, it's going to potentially have a laxative effect. So I think you want to use those things sparingly, and you probably want to use them in order to maintain, test yourself, see how you respond to a source of magnesium. I think, if you assume that the RDA level of 300 to 400 is going, 300 to 450 is going to be a baseline. If you're assuming that you're getting, if you have a good diet and you're getting most of that, and you want to supplement to kind of build up your magnesium in your body, I think you can supplement with some of these over-the-counter supplements. But again, you have to be careful about the issue of your sensitivity, your GI tract, and how much of that magnesium is actually available to you. Just because you take 500 milligrams of magnesium oxide doesn't mean you're really getting that much. And you may be actually depleting yourself if you are, experiencing kind of a laxative effect.
Yeah. Just to kind of, as a coach, what I tell people, and this is my thought process here, as I'm, you know, looking at, I agree with you on the dark, greasy lean, dark leafy greens. I'm a huge fan of smoothies because you can cram a whole bunch, because you're absolutely right. One cup of raw spinach or kale is only going to give you maybe 10% of what you need. You know, cooked is quite a bit more, just because it's more dense, more, you can fit a whole bunch more in there. So, you know, I've been telling folks, okay, the dark green smoothie is really important because you can just cram a whole bunch in there and you're not, you know, chewing on a whole bunch of greens. So, you know, maybe you're getting some. I coached my athletes in taking magnesium at night. Magnesium also lets you sleep, helps you sleep better. And then, you know, maybe you don't have the, during the day, kind of looser bowels, like you're saying with magnesium, that, you know, yeah, you absolutely do need to figure out how to manage that in your day. Have you ever used or have any thoughts on the magnesium oil? I have some. You know, my thought is maybe it's more absorbable than the salts in a bath, because, you know, the skin is a lipid, talking about magnesium. So thoughts on that as far as, you know, the oils that we can get maybe after a run?
Yeah, I have only just recently become aware of these other products that are, you know, oil-based sources of magnesium. So I can't really tell you how efficient they are in terms of delivering magnesium. I'm not familiar with that. I haven't had a chance to do any research on it. I guess the only thing I would be weary of is what is the oil that they're using, because we want to make sure that, you know, we're not getting a dose of omega-6, you know, a biased oil that has more omega-6s in it versus omega-3, because, you know, it's probably another podcast to talk about those types of fatty acids and how important that omega-3 to omega-6 ratio is. So I'm concerned about what the oil is, in addition to, you know, how efficient that system is in terms of delivering magnesium. Everything I've seen indicates that there's an acceptance of the efficiency. I would want to know that if I'm putting the oil on, that it is going to be, you know, a omega-3 biased or medium chain triglyceride, something that's in. There's some companies now that are creating supplements that where the supplement itself is oil soluble, not water soluble. They're delivering it in coconut oil in a capsule form. So that's one of the things I would question if I was looking at any potential product that I was going to be using or experimenting with. And I'm probably going to be moving in that direction myself.
That's excellent. Good information. I myself get oils, and then I kind of mix some oils together. And I do use good oils for the body. And I'm adding all kinds of stuff in there, some lavender and awesome stuff. And so, you know, I rub that on at my legs at night. Because for me, I don't know if anybody can relate to this, but I might be laying in bed, and this is kind of my telltale sign that I'm getting a little bit low on magnesium, is that my legs will start to twitch and they'll get kind of really restless. So my first go-to is to rub the oil on there. And, you know, for an athlete, that's really good anyway. It's a good practice of self-care, good practice of helping the legs to recover, more blood flow to the legs. So I do that regularly, and it's pretty quick, because I have taken the magnesium supplement, which takes quite a bit longer to get the legs to quiet down. And the oil seems to work faster for me. I have never had really good luck with the bath salts. They make me really tired. But that, you know, for me, I'm still, you know, when I get into that position, I'm still thinking to myself, I think you're just a little bit low on magnesium in general anyway. And then I go back and I look at my diet. Okay, you need to be eating more of the greens, the seeds, and stuff like that. So that's kind of been my experience recently with the magnesium and the different ways to supplement that.
Well, sometimes a nice Epsom salt bath is to get sleepy is good for you. So
yeah.
I wouldn't, you know, I think a variety of sources would be a good approach. But again, I think that magnesium oxide is probably one you do want to stay away from in terms of oral supplementation, because that is the form of magnesium that is most active as a laxative.
Okay. And that's a whole nother podcast about, you know, making sure that you're absorbing your nutrients, right? And if things are going through too fast, then we kind of get derailed there as well. So anything more? This has been really fascinating, and I myself have learned a ton. Anything else that you wanted to add? Anything we missed, you know, for the average Joe or for the endurance athlete on this topic?
I would hope that, you know, coming away from this and seeing the importance of, so again, in your diet, the reason that even the average person is showing up as being magnesium deficient in our modern culture with our modern diet is because of processed food and, you know, lots of processed carbohydrates in our diet. And I think out of all the sources for magnesium, you know, looking at what is sustainable in the diet in terms of, you know, balancing caloric intake and athletic activity, I think you should be biased in your diet towards, you know, a big helping of leafy greens. And you can cook spinach down and kale down, you know, 1/10 of its volume. So what would normally have been a cup of spinach would end up being like a tablespoon. So you can get a lot of magnesium. If you're cooking it down, though, you have to be careful that the fluid that you're producing might be a leachate. So a lot of the magnesium and other minerals might come out of the spinach or the other leafy greens as you're cooking them down. So, you know, if you can make a dish where that's a kind of a soup that you consume, I think those are really nutritionally dense sources of magnesium. They're delivered in the most optimal form, which is chlorophyll molecule with the magnesium at its heart being carried into your digestive tract and being released in a really efficient way. Nuts, obviously, too, are going to be really good for you. But if you're sensitive to the number of calories, I mean, if you look at, you know, a tablespoon of nuts, you're taking in a lot of calories. And you know, just from my perspective is that I want to be satiated when I eat. So I don't want to eat. I don't want my whole meal to be 3 tablespoons of pumpkin seed. You know,
right.
So try to balance things out in that way. But, you know, the leafy greens are, you know, I think really important because it's delivering not only magnesium but a lot of other mineral nutrients that are important for the endurance athlete. Copper, magnesium, it's a rich source of bioavailable iron, which is obviously very important. Zinc, chromium. Those other ions are going to be readily available in a really pure bioactive form coming in from in the diet from plant sources, especially leafy greens.
Okay, awesome. So one last quick question then. We haven't touched on this, and I know that a section of the folks that follow me do juicing. So have you thought about juicing, you know, because I've needed to educate folks on the difference between smoothies and juicing is to try to get phytonutrients in. It's many as humanly possible. We're not worried about the fiber. We're not worried about the macronutrients. We're worried about the micronutrients. So have you thought anything about, you know, because you can put a lot of green leafies into your Breville and juice it and drink it down, you know, dump the beet in there too. So have you thought about that, or do you have any thoughts about that now?
I think that that would be an excellent way to introduce the types of phytonutrients and mineral nutrients in your diet in a bioactive form. I love wheatgrass juice. It's thick and green, and it's full of chlorophyll, and it's just a really concentrated delivery system for those types of nutrients and phytonutrients. And again, the greenness, when you see green, that you're seeing magnesium essentially. So the chlorophyll in the plants is a bio delivery system in our diet for magnesium. So if you're juicing, obviously you want to have a lot of leafy greens, and spinach, kale are probably going to be at the top of the list because they're rich. I mean, they're superfoods in their own right with vitamin K content, iron content, those sorts of things. So they're just an excellent foundation for your diet, I think.
That's great. That's fabulous. Great. So Dr. Marshall Porterfield, I really want to thank you for an excellent podcast. You have really kind of wrapped this all up and made it easy to understand. But give us the gravity of it, too, is how important, you know, nutritionally understanding what we eat really matters a lot. And if you want to, you know, do these activities, the 5Ks all the way through ultra running, that, you know, how you eat, your nutritional status, how the body functions is really important. So I really appreciate your time, and hopefully we'll get you on with another topic because you're awesome.
Well, I really appreciate it. I really enjoyed getting a chance to talk to you and talk about this particular topic. I'm passionate about sports nutrition and endurance sports, and I've happened to have the educational background to be able to interact with the literature and understand these things at a different level than what the average athlete probably is equipped to be able to do. So anything I can do to contribute to the community, I'm happy to do so.
Okay. Well, thank you for your time, and we'll look forward to the next wonderful information you have for us.
All right, Bonnie. Thanks a lot. All right, bye.